Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
Father, we pray that your word will be a revelation to their heart. And Father, help us to have the spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say to the church. Speak, Father, to men in this church, that they will be whoever would you want them to be. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Last year, I was talking about God the Father, talking about human Father, and fathers who are the priests of their home. Today, I would like to continue to talk about the responsibility of the father in their home. And you, some of you may be single men, but one day you may get married and become a father as well. So I believe that this message is not only for the married men or the fathers, but also the single. For the ladies, it's so good to know what God expects the husband to do. And not that you're here to judge or criticize or put them down, but it's to support and to pray for them, that the will of God will be done in their life. This is a very important principle. Every home, every church is led by a man. And either you criticize, you complain, or you come against that man, which eventually will bring difficulties and failure to that community or that home. Instead, you should encourage. You should pray for them. You should exhort them and help them. Amen. Amen. Today, we'd like to talk about the father as a prophet of his home. You know, in the Old Testament, God anoints three kinds of people: the priest, the prophet, and the king. And the father has all these three responsibilities in the home. The father is a prophet of his family. What does it mean that the father is a prophet? It means that he represents God to his family. He represents God to his family. So the one thing that we need to see today is that you, men, you represent God to your wife and to your children. Do you know that psychiatrists and even church pastors all agree that a child normally forms the first impression of God by looking at his dad, how his dad behaves, how his dad acts in the home. So that's why, and that is the intention of God, is that dad represents God to his family. And this is one of the awesome and powerful responsibility that God gives to all the men in this world, is to represent him to your family unit. What an awesome responsibility. And I tell you one thing, the kind of a father a person had has a lot to do with how that person responds to God one day when he comes to know God. I give you example. If a dad of a home is very unkind, is very unreasonable, demand unreasonable things all the time, and become very critical, become very ungodly. So when that child grows up, he would look at God the same way. He would treat God the same way. He would may think that the God that they talk about in the church, on the pulpit, is an unfair God. is a very unkind God. The God that will put out very legalistic law to me, to humanity, that I cannot live up with. So forget about it, about this God. Amen. But if the Father is very kind, very, very reasonable, very loving, very understanding, very godly, that child will grow up and say, that is the God that I like to worship. My God is going to be like my dad. Actually, that he's going to treat God that way. Oh God, you are kind. You're full of compassion. You are so reasonable. You know my need. You meet my need. Amen. So you can see that it's a very awesome responsibility to be a dad, because you represent God to your children. Amen. So don't be a cruel dad. Don't be a very mean dad, but be a loving dad, because that will dictate your attributes, your personality, your attitudes, your personality and your lifestyle will determine how your kids have the attitude toward their God. It's a big deal. It's determined the future of your children. Amen. Paul wrote the scripture. I want to read through scripture here regarding being a father. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. The New Testament definitely, clearly, places a great responsibility of the spiritual instruction and discipline and training on the shoulders of the fathers of every single home. Do you hear this? God places the great responsibility of spiritual instruction to the dad. Many dads misunderstand that they can transfer that responsibility to the pastors, to the youth leaders, to the Sunday school teachers. So they say, I'm going to drop my kids off and your guy take care. At home, I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm not going to do anything with my kids. I'm not going to train them and discipline them. I want to tell you one thing. There is no one else on earth that can replace you, can take that responsibility from you. You, Dad, you have that primary responsibility for the spiritual instruction and training to your kids. This is the problem. In many homes, when the kids become wayward, when the kids become rebellious and run away, the first thing that many Christian dads will say, oh, I put the blame on the pastor. I put the blame on the Sunday school teacher. They don't do that good job. The youth leader don't do their jobs. Wow, bad church. My dear brothers and sisters, you cannot say that, because it's not the primary responsibility to the church to train your kids. It's your primary responsibility. Therefore, don't throw that responsibility to the church. The church will do our part to help you, to fill the gap for you. But the primary responsibility is you, Dad. Amen. But now Paul, at the same time, he tells the dads in the Bible that you need to guard against two kinds of extreme enemies, two kinds of dangers in the house. And you need to protect your kids against these two dangers. And one of the dangers is rebelliousness. We don't want our kids to be rebellious. We don't want our children to act rebelliously. Amen. Therefore, it's our responsibility, since they are young, as a dad, to train them, to guard them against all the rebellious attitude. You need to make sure you don't allow your children to become wayward, to become rebellious in front of you. You need to discipline them if they talk back to you. You need to correct them. You need to tell them that they cannot do this thing. Amen. It's our responsibility to come against rebellious heart. And you know, when you train your kids that way, you need to train since they are young. For example, if they crawl in the kitchen and they begin to pull things out and you say, no, 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 no. And the kid's still doing it. You have to go to that kid and make a spank and say, stop right now. You train them since they are young to listen to you. Don't wait until they become teenager. It's kind of a little bit too late. Do it when they're young, when they're baby. Don't let the babies have their own ways all the time. You know, some parents treat their babies like a god. They can do whatever they want. They can run around, yell and chow, and jump up on the couch and tear the houses down, go to somebody's house, tear off everything, tear the carpet down, everything, and then the mom and dad sit there doing nothing. This is not my house. It's okay. My kids have the first priority in this house. They can jump on the couch. They can pull the pen out and draw on the wall. And it's not my house anyway. That's okay. My dear brothers and sisters, no. You need to stop them. You need to look at their eyes and say, you cannot do this in a loving way. Stop the rebellious heart right away since they are young. Amen. Respect other people's house. Amen. I noticed that sometimes people, when in their house, they keep the carpet clean, everything in order. But when their kids go to somebody's house, ooh, wild. Run around, you know, and yell and take the ice cream and eat on the carpet and just let the ice cream go down. No, 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 no. You eat, your kids eat in the kitchen. Eat in the area of eating. Not go up and eat on my bedroom or something like that. On my bed. Amen. You need to discipline your kids and learn how to stop that rebellious heart. But on another extreme, another danger is in the house. We call not only rebelliousness, we call discouragement. A father who is very unduly, very severe, very critical, very emotional, very demanding, very unreasonable, will produce the kids that is full of discouragement, full of frustration. Amen. The dads that don't keep their words, they say one thing and they do another thing, will make the kids discouraged. And the kids will say, this is no good. No matter what I do, he yells at me anyway. No matter what I do, he doesn't appreciate me anyway. He always provokes my anger. So forget about it. I'm going to do whatever I want. So that is another danger that the dad should try to prevent it from happening. Many people grow up with severe emotional problems. You know, I noticed as a pastor, and you trace back the members who have big emotional problem, like low self-esteem, unbelief, lack of confidence, have a problem with authority. You know, when they talk to pastor, they're kind of a little bit uneasy to talk to the pastor. Or people who always negative, criticizing, gossiping, talking back, criticize the leadership. All this emotional problem, if you trace back many times, I don't say that all 100% of the time, these people grew up in the home where their dads scold them in public. Their dad don't show love to them. Their dad treat them unfairly. That dad show partiality between kids. That dad act in an unreasonable way all the time. So, and these kids grow up with wounds inside their heart. Wound that has been not healed. And that's why we need the fire of God to come and heal these people. I cannot heal you, my dear brother and sister. I'm a man. Only God can heal you. So many people who come to church with wounds in their life, because they grew up in the very ungodly home. Dads do not take the responsibility. They get discouraged. Amen. So, dads in this house, I want to encourage you. If you want to be a prophet of God to your home, you need to represent God to your home. One thing that you need to do, the Bible teaches that you need to have an ongoing, regular communication with your children. You know, the prophet has the job to bring the message from God to the nation. The same thing, the dad has the message, has the communication. But I want to warn you this. Don't make that communication too rigid, too formal, too religious, too legalistic. The communication will be effective is it very casual, very relaxing, informal, and day-to-day life. And I'm going to show you the scripture in a few minutes here. I remember I like one movie very much. I watched a movie called The Sound of Music. And I remember when I watched that movie, that family, the Lantrop or something. What is the name of the family? I don't remember the name now. Oh, huh? Montrop or something. The dad will come with the whistler. So the kid come out like this. And like this. And the dad say, in a very formal way, in a militant way, in a religious way. You know, the kids are very discouraged. And the message will not go that far if you do that to your kids. Don't preach to your kids. Communication means informal, non-religious, loving, non-stiff. Not stiff, but relax. Amen. And then the kids will listen to you. It's very essential that you not only talk to your kids and communicate on a regular basis. You know, the way I talk to my kids, I look at their eyes and begin to talk to them in an informal way. I give you an example. Last night, I noticed that Paul was watching cartoon in a TV in my bedroom. I decided just to go and lie down with him on the floor, on the, you know, carpet floor, and just lie down with him and talk to him. And he suddenly turned to me and said, "Dad, I'm so impressed with the water parted. The water just go out like this." I said, "What? God, water go out?" He said, Moses make the water go out like this." And I said, "So what do you mean?" I said, "I like to do that." I say, "Yes, you can. If you are a man of God, love the word, filled with the Holy Spirit, and fear God." And he say, "Really? I need to know the word?" "Yes." And this is informal. I didn't preach. This is in front of the TV. We talk, and I say, "Let's read the Bible then." He say, okay. So we went to his room. We sit on the bed. He like this on my neck. And I began to read the Bible about Elijah called fire from heaven. So while I was reading, I explaining to him, he like, "Oh yeah, I want to be a powerful man like Elijah too. Call fire from heaven. And not only that, pray that the rain come after 3.5 years of famine, of no rain." Wow, and we talk, and then he bowed down and we pray together that God will use him powerfully in the future. And after we finished talking, I said, "Paul, you need to read the Bible a lot. You need to know the word. You need to be a man of God. Fear God. Don't worship idol. Don't play." And I was talking in a very casual way. And I say, at the end, I say, "Don't forget to come out to the prayer line a lot and get filled with the fire of God too." Amen. So you see, it's a casual talking. And he nod his head and agree with me. Amen. And sometimes he come to me in a casual way. "Dad, I want to see those dinosaurs." And I say, "No, dinosaur, you cannot see dinosaur anymore because they were drowned in the flood 6,000 years ago. And I say, "What? Really? So no, our boat cannot fit those dinosaurs." I say, "No, cannot. The dinosaur too big. And if they are around, they're going to eat you up anyway. So don't forget about it. Don't worry about it." So it's casual. And after that, he always come to me. "Oh, Noah, 6,000 years ago, not 10 million years ago, 6,000 years ago. And then he come, "Oh, Moses split the Red Sea about 3,000 years ago." He remember all these thousand years. It's amazing. So I have a Sunday school in my house. Amen. Regular communication. But at the same time, Dad, remember this. When you have communication, don't just talk, but you listen. You need to listen to them, what they say. Many kids are very bitter against their parents because they always say this, my dad never listened to me. He only talked on his way, his term, but he never listened to me. Listen, communication include listens. Amen, listening. So practice the atmosphere of talking and listening in a casual way. This principle is mentioned in the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. Therefore, listen carefully, this God, Moses was talking to the congregation, especially to the dad, to the men. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine, mean the Bible, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, mean become your lifestyle, go with you every single day. They shall be as frontless between your eyes, mean when you become a walking Bible. My dear brother and sister, before I go on and read, I want to encourage all of you. You know, I know that we are living in a very busy society. Oh, I have program. I have to finish my taxes. I need to go to swimming class with my kids. I need to go play golf. I need to fix my car. I need to clean up my garage. I need to clean the house. I need to move. I need to buy house, sell house. I need to do this and that. Very busy. But I want to encourage all the men in this room, no matter busy it is in your life, it's about priority and it's about what you see the most important in your life. Amen. I want to exhort you that it's your responsibility to put priority in the issue of God and knowing the Word of God. Amen. Actually, you should buck the pastor and say, when are we going to have Bible study again? When are we going to have a class again? How many more CD series you going to come out? Can I listen to 5 times in CD series? Amen. You need to soak in the Word of God. You need to be diligent in knowing the Word of God, learning the Word of God. Don't put the Word of God as a secondary, tertiary, fourth. You know, the Word of God is so important because, you know, I'm going to read to you and I show you in a few minutes here. So the Bible says, you shall lay up this word of God in your heart, in your soul. Take serious about gaining the Word of God, receiving the Word of God in your life, and live it. Become your lifestyle, the Bible, walking Bible. And then verse 19 say, then this is a command. How can you teach your kids if you don't know the word? You need to know the word. The Bible says, you shall teach them the words of God to your children, not teach in the classroom. Listen carefully. Moses continued to say, speaking of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Yesterday, I was talking to Paul when I lie down watching TV with him. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and on your gates and your days. Listen carefully. Then this is the blessing that God promised all the dads who love the word, know the word, practice the word, and speak the word in a casual, daily, ongoing basis to your kids. You shall then your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them. How many people want to live a long life? No one want to die soon. How many people want your kids to live a long life? Multiply. Their days multiply. Amen. In the land which the Lord swore to your father to give them, like the days of the heaven above the earth. Praise God. Praise God. Not only the long days of your life, long age, long years. If you can do that, the days on earth gonna be like the days in heaven. How many people say like this to me? Oh, my life like in a hell. Like in hell. Sickness and car accident and blah, blah. Everything just in a mess. My life is in the mess. No, 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 no. You can make your life like in heaven. Your days on earth is like in heaven. What you need to do, dads, you need to take serious about knowing the Word of God. I have Bible program in my computer. Even Jim can be my witness. In the operating room, between cases, I will sit in front of my computer and study Bible. Even 50 minutes, I read the Bible. I study the Bible. Not study to teach or preach. I study the Bible for my own soul. So that I will know the word and practice the word, so that I can teach my kids too, and their days on earth will be like heaven, in heaven, and they will be multiplied. Take serious reading the Bible. Amen. Listen to, don't sit in the car doing nothing, having a dreams. But listen to the word of God. Listen to all the teaching. Listen again and again. Listen carefully. Take heed. Incline your ear. What God wants to say about this issue. Amen. And then you can teach your children. I remember one time, this is a casual way. I took my kids out to watch movie in a movie theater. And in that movie, suddenly a man took a girl who just met each other only for 3 hours at the airport to go to the hotel and sleep together. Right away, I turned to my daughter. I don't want to tell the name. I turned to my daughter and say, you know, this is not good. This is not pleasing to God. Sexual relationship is only in marriage. You should not do this. You should not just go sleep with anybody anytime and just not even know the man very well. I use that opportunity to teach my kids. Amen. Whenever you see something, you teach. You drive in a car. Your wife sitting here. Your kids sitting behind. You have two choices. Ha! 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 Yell at each other. And your kids sitting in the back like, they yell at each other. Or you can sit there. Oh, the pastor. He didn't do that. He's just so bad. The church demands so much. The church wants 10%. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And the kids sitting in the back. Oh, I don't want your God. Your God is so mean. Your pastor is so mean. I don't want to. When I grow up, I can guarantee, I promise, I will not go to church. No. Don't complain. Don't criticize. You don't like something? Come back. Come directly to me and talk to me. Don't criticize people in the church in front of your kids. Amen. You teach them. You speak the word. You speak the oracles of God. You speak the truth. You speak something good to build them up. Not complaining. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time you're going to open your mouth and complain and criticize, slap on your mouth right away on that spot and say, stop it. Because you are destroying your own kids and your own family. You will reap what you sow. If you sow in the flesh, you're going to reap in the flesh. And your kids are going to get it. So be careful. I'm very careful when I sit in my car with my wife and talk about church issue. Talk about leaders and pastor. Because I don't want my kids to be bitter against God. Amen? So you have to be very careful. Amen. So you can see that you can speak the word of God while cleaning up the garage. While mowing the lawn together. On the way to the school, in a casual way. And I remember that the most memorable thing in my life is not when my dad sit down and scold me and talk to me. The most memorable thing is when I sat in that old American car. I don't remember the name. I think Chrysler. He was driving Chrysler when I was when I was a baby. And my dad drove us to Bang San, which is a very famous beach in Thailand. And while in the car, he was talking. He teaching me, you know, eat. If you eat food, you should eat the all up. Don't leave anything in the plate. And he was talking, and he said, you know, when you go out of the room, you should turn off the light. Don't let the light turn on. Waste of money, waste of gas, waste of energy. And then go on, and he said, you know, when you eat the food on the plate, don't eat the best chicken. Leave the best chicken for somebody else. Eat the worst one. give the best seat to other. When my dad teach me in a casual way in the car, you know, while we are swimming in the beach, he talk about all this thing in a casual way, and I remember all those things. I remember that he took me to see dentist, and he said that, oh, after the dentist pull out your teeth, I gonna go take you to a toy store. I said, okay, I go to dentist with you because I want toy. And in the car, he begin to talk about taking care of my health. He teach me in the car in a very casual way, in the classroom. So the same thing, you should talk to your kids, communicate regularly and casually and in a loving way. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people want to be a prophet of your home? Get into the word, know the word, speak the word in your house all the time. Amen. Now look at another job description of a dad. Not only you are the prophet of your home, let's look at another one. Priest, prophet, last one, king. You are the king of your home. The function of a king is to rule and to reign and to govern. You know, the word king in America is quite foreign. You don't understand the word king very much because you don't have a king here. I just watched somebody just send to me the script movie about 2 minutes from Thailand, because Thai king, the king of Thailand, just reigned Thailand for 60 years. He is about almost 80 years old. And they took the videotape of how many 100,000 of people stood on the ground with the yellow shirt and shout, long live the king, long live the king. And people cry and cry and cry. And people just love that king so much. And the king came out and blessed the people. You know, I understand how they feel because I came from the nation that have the king. And that's why it's easy for me to relate to the authority of the king of the universe. That is the father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That person need to have character. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. He must rule his own household well, keeping his children under control, with true dignity, commanding their respect in every way, keeping them respectful. For if a man does not know how to rule his own household, how is he to take care of the church of God? Wow. Paul said that if a man doesn't know how to rule, how to lead, how to govern his own house, how he can be a leader of the church. We need, as a man, as a dad, we have the responsibility to lead, to govern. Amen. I'm going to explain to you in a minute here. We need to lead our children with love, that our children will learn how to live in respect, obedience, under supervision. I was so proud of my kid yesterday. My kid that, you know, I really turned to Da and said, Da, I think we have come so far now in our house. My kid wants something and I turn around and say, no, it's not the time yet. And my kid just say, no problem. They didn't yell at me. They didn't talk back to me. And I was so glad that God has moved Da and me to this level of parenting, that they listen to us. I'm so blessed. You know, if I cannot take care of my house, I cannot take care of my own children, how can I take care of the church? So it's so important that every man need to set the goal that I'm going to be a godly father. I'm going to learn from God, from the Bible. I'm going to grow up myself spiritually to be able to be a good leader in my house. The word rule in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 to 5 mean this. Okay, I want to explain to you. You see the picture. I remember I was watching a movie called, very, very impressive, called Samurai. In that movie, Samurai just came out last year, 2 years ago. In that movie, I remember this guy, I don't remember the name now of this movie star. Tom Cruise, and I'm talking about the Chinese man. What is his name? The man is Samurai. Shen Leng or something. I remember he was going on to fight. Okay, I don't remember the name. That's okay. It doesn't matter. This man, this samurai man, he was on a horse. And I never forgot that picture. He was on the horse and there are many samurai men behind him. And he was on a horse like this with the samurai. And they're going to go to fight somebody. And you know what happened? This man, the samurai head, the head of this group, was in the front of the army. He was not behind and let people die. He was in the front. Ah, like this, you know. But that tell me the spiritual implication about leadership. Because the word rule in the Greek language means to stand out in front of. Everyone say in front. To stand at the head of. So the leader, a husband, is a person who stands in front. And the mom and the kids follow. What does it mean here? It means to lead. To be the head. To protect. To get in front of. To get all the responsibility and blame. If anything go wrong in your house, you are the one who say, I'm sorry, it's my problem, not their problem. Is that right? Don't blame your wife. Oh, she. No. You are the leader. You have the authority. You take responsibility. And that's why in our church, I want to tell you one thing. I'm going to explain in a minute here. The picture between the church and the home. Same thing. Whatever decision you make in this house as a church, you know what? If something go bad in here, you know who get the blame? Not you. This man. Because I stand in front of everyone. So that's why don't get mad at me if I ask you, can you show me your project? Can you tell me what you're going on? How you spend money? Because you know what? If something go wrong, not you get blamed, me get blamed. Me, here. The same thing in my house, the Lau Haprasit house. If something go wrong in that house, it's me that get blamed. Amen? But when we get the glory, everyone get the glory. That's the problem. When the church get the glory, everyone get the glory. But every time the blame, go to the pastor, talk to the pastor. He is going to get blamed. That's why leadership, you need to have accountability toward me. Cannot do whatever you want. You need to report to me. You need to tell me. Amen. The same thing in the house. I really appreciate Pastor Da. Every decision she makes, she always come to me and say, I like to do this. What do you think? And normally, I will use this principle. Happy wife, happy life. Everyone, all the men say, happy wife, happy life. So I make her happy. But again, the decision, I need to talk to God and make sure that it's from God. Amen? So stand in front. What does it mean? You stand between all the pressure and the arrow and the problem in front of them. You are the one who protect them. You want to go first. Amen? Some men are not like that. Honey, wash the dish. Clean the house. Kids, do this. But when the danger come, sit behind the couch and you do it. You get all this problem. You just take care, okay? I'm not going to get involved with all this problem myself. No. If you stand in the front, you take responsibility of leading and also protection as well. Amen? Not really that. Standing in the front, what does it mean? It means example. You notice that the kids always walk like the dad. You stand in front, you lift your right hand up, they lift right hand up. You are example to them. Set good example to them. What does it mean to be a leader in the house? It means this. It's not yelling, commanding, demanding, but it means to take guts to be a man and a father that God is pleasing. To take guts, to take all the responsibility, to take all the character, to be a man of God, to sacrifice, to stand firm in the principle of God. Amen? That is the man of God. It's not somebody who yells and scold on people and use authority to, I'm a man, like this. No. It takes God to be a godly man. Then Paul say like this, if that person cannot be a good leader in the household, he cannot be a good leader in the church. Brothers and sisters, we're going to use this principle from now on. But it's noble to be leader in the church anyway. Everyone should seek to be elders and bishop and leaders in the church. The home is really like the church in miniature. When I prepared this teaching, it really opened my eyes. God showed me that the home is has dad, the head, and the wife, the helper, and the kids, compared to the church. And that is a small church. The dad is a pastor, the shepherd. The wife is the helper, or the elders and ministry leaders. And the congregation is the kid. We have congregations to take care. So you can see the picture, the same thing. If I cannot take care of my home, how can I take care of a big church? Because if I cannot take care of 5 people, I cannot take care of 200 people. That's why the primary responsibility of the men in this room is to be a good father first. Amen. It's very important, so then you can take care of a bigger church. Amen. So the same thing, whatever you apply in your own house, it applies to the local church. Each local church has one pastor, senior pastor, the dad. He listens to God. He may not have all the gifts that you want him to be. Some people misunderstand that pastor need to be administrative, has to be good at organization, has to be good in teaching, preaching, laying on of hand, healing, performing signs and wonder, and jump up and down and then fly in the air and do everything. No. He just, it's an office, it's a position. But then the helper, the elders and administrator and other people help the pastor to fulfill the purpose of God in that family. The same thing in the house. The dad go out to work, earn income, but the wife helps the kids, congregation, listen and obey and support. Amen. Remember this. Every time you criticize your own home, you criticize your dad. Every time you criticize your own church, you criticize the pastor. The best way is to go to your dad and say, what can I help to resolve this problem? You see what I mean? Easy to talk, but not easy to do. One day I got an email saying like this in that email. Pastor, I'm not going to join your church until you agree with my theology. Let's sit down and discuss about your theology. And I didn't email back, but I always say, I think in my heart, this church is not looking for theologians. It's not looking for people who come and argue with me. We are looking for workers, people who serve the Lord, who love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. Amen. The same thing in the house. We are not looking for kids who come up and say, Dad, 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 what you do? What you do? Criticize that all the time. Help the dad to run the house. Amen. But the dad at the same time has to be the right kind of the king. Amen. The picture of the dad has a responsibility to lead the household. Why don't we look at one dad that is called Father 2 times? His name is Father. His name is Abraham. We're going to look at him quickly and then we finish the sermon. Abraham was blessed by God. You need to understand that in his generation, there might be hundreds of thousands of men in the world. But why? Do you notice one thing? Out of these hundreds of thousands in the world, God picked one man to be the father of a great nation of the world. And that nation called Christian nation. This man is the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ancestor of our spiritual father. Produced millions of Christians all over the world, become a great nation. God promised Abraham, you're going to be a great nation. Why God picked Abraham? I want God to pick me. God pick me. I don't want God to bypass me and say, I'm going to go another man. I don't want you. I want God to hand pick me like Abraham. How many people want God to hand pick you? I want God to hand pick me. Amen. And you can be Abraham in this century. Look at what the Bible says about Abraham. And you can do the same thing in this century. Genesis chapter 18, 17 to 19. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? In other words, God said, I'm going to tell him the secret of heaven. Wow, this man has a special deal with God. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Wow, what a mighty blessing that you become a great nation and the whole world will be blessed by you. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Wow. Why God chose Abraham? You know, first of all, before Abraham named Abraham, his name is Abram. Abram means exalted father. Then his name was switched to Abraham, which means the father of many nations, of the multitudes. You can see here that this one man, his name in the term father, 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 father. So I want to tell you, this is a father day. A father will determine how the father behaves, how the father acts, will determine the future of that nation, of that civilization, and that home, and that church. If the father in this church are not godly, the whole church gonna suffer. The whole community gonna suffer. If the father is godly, the whole nation gonna be blessed. Fathers, you hold big responsibility in your hand. Men, guys. Hi, guys. Wake up. You have big responsibility of this generation. Don't take it lightly. Amen. God chose Abraham and he wants to multiply Abraham into a great nation. What we learn from this story, number two, is this. When Abraham fulfilled his responsibility as a dad, he produced a great nation. The same thing, if you fulfill the responsibility of a dad, you and your offspring, one day going to become a great community. Bless so many people. You know, I saw already in the life of, I mentioned last Sunday, I saw John Osteen, the pastor of Lakewood Church. He was a man of God because he stood firm with God. At that time, he may have only 8,000 members. But after he died, that passed on to his son, Joe Osteen. And now the church has 30,000 members, become a big nation. Because one man named John Osteen stand with God. You can do the same thing. You can shake the nation. You produce a great mighty nation because you are a godly man. Why did God choose Abraham? A good question. Because this is what the Bible says. Listen carefully, men. The Bible says like this. He may command his children and his household after him that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. God say, I can trust this man. I can rely on this man to command. Command is a military term. The command doesn't mean to yell. Not like, hey, do this. No, command doesn't mean yell. Command means like this. Daughter, we love God in this house. And we want to please God. We want God to bless us. Let's do this together. No if, and, or but. This is it. This is command. The basis of the commandment is on pleasing God. Not your own flesh, not your own desire, not your own agenda, but to please the Heavenly Father. Abraham is responsible to do that. He gonna pass on the right thing to his children. That's why he become a great nation. Amen? Hallelujah. It means what when you command? It means the dad determine what time the kids going to go to bed. It determines what kind of program in the TV your kids going to watch. One time, I walk into the room and I saw my kids watching something like very worldly. I told them right away, I don't think you should watch this one. It's not very good. Change the program. be determined. Amen. I put a program in my home computer to block off all the junk, all the pornography. I say, I'm going to control my house. I command no pornography in my house, period. No bad stuff. Amen. No bad books in my house. We determine what we're going to do in the house as a dad. Amen. And you can see also that because Abraham was that kind of father. After that, God said, I set him as a pattern that everyone will call him father of faith. Abraham is our father of faith. Is that right? We follow his pattern. We follow his faith. And what kind of faith he has? The faith he has is that how he behaved in his home. And that's how we behave in our home. How we behave in our home, we need to lead our kids to the right direction. I want to close this sermon by telling you another man in the same generation named Lot. It's a scary story. Lot knew everything that Abraham knew. They live in the same, household. He saw everything that God did to Abraham. But one day, Lot and Abraham have to separate because their flocks are so numerous that they cannot be in the same land. So Abraham, as a gentleman, he said, you choose first wherever you want to go. I choose the second one. You know what Lot did? Lot, as a dad, chose Sodom. He pitched the tent outside Sodom wall. Only in a short period, his whole household was in Sodom city, inside the wall. And you know what happened? God punished that city, judged that city. He tried to get his son-in-law, his daughter, everyone to get out of that city. But he failed. They burned. They died. Can you imagine, as Lot, you walk out of the city, your family already dead. You were sitting on a mountain, look back in your life. I make a wrong choice. I took my family into the sinful city, a place of sinfulness. And they all died. And I could not even take them out. Dad, it's our responsibility to take our kids to the godly way. Amen? Make choice every day. Make a choice. Make a choice to be godly. Don't yield to your flesh. Amen? Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't be cunning. Don't manipulate. Don't gossip. Don't criticize. Don't judge people. Don't cheat God in the area of tithing. Don't use your flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Be a man of faith, a man of God in your home. Be the priest, be the prophet, and the king of God in your home. And your kids will be blessed. And they will have a long day on earth. Their days will be multiplied, and heaven will be in your home. Amen. At the end of this sermon, I'd like to pray for all the fathers. And after that, I will call all the kids out, and you lay hand on the kids and pray for them. Why all the dads come out here, and I pray for you. First, pray for all the dads. And after that, we call the kids out to pray for them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brothers, choose God first. Choose the kingdom of God first. Fear God, love God, obey His word. Be hungry for His word. Walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Hungry, be hungry for God. Don't take God second. God come first, everything in your life. Be Abraham of this generation. One day, your great-grandchildren will say, the God of Elmer, the God of RJ, and the God of who and who and who. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you are the man of God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your spirit will work in their life to give them hunger, to give them the fear of God, the love of God, the faith of God. They shall become Abraham in this generation, so that you will handpick them to become a father of the great nation if Jesus tarries. Father, bless them. Put all the grace, the wisdom, the understanding and insight, the power of heaven upon their life, that they will be able to fulfill the responsibility of a godly father in their home. Father, please change them from glory to glory to become like Christ. Help them not to be discouraged when they fall down, but help them to get up and go again. Help them, Father, to run the race to the end, to the winning line. Father, that day when they go to heaven, they will have the crown of righteousness on their head. And you will say, good and faithful servant, you live a life that is pleasing to me. Come and rejoice together with your master. Father, I pray also that their children shall inherit the land. I pray that they will raise godly children to become mighty men and women in the next generation. Lord, this church, the next generation of leadership will be greater than us, will be more anointed than us, will be so godly than us, more godly than us, Father. Lord, this church, Father, will eventually shake many nations around the world. May you raise many children in this church through these fathers to become pastors and leaders and elders in the church, to become, Lord, the servant of God in this last, Lord, age of the church era, Father. Lord, we bless them. We bless them. Put your hand upon them, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can somebody pull the kids out here? And all the dads, you could just go and just stay here, stay here. I want the kids to come in the middle here and you lay hand and bless them. Pull all the kids out here right now, the kids. Don't go yet. Don't go yet. We pray for all the kids. The kids that grow up too, you can come out too. If you grow up already, that's okay. It doesn't have to be young children. All the grown-up kids, if your dad is here, come out to them. And dad, pray. If you don't have kids here, you go and pray with the dad. Hallelujah. The kids come out here. Pray for the kids. Hallelujah. Pray by faith. Pray by faith. Hallelujah. If you don't have your kids here, you can join other dad. Pray for them. Come here, kids. Your dad will pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If your dad is not here, other elder or other men in the church can pray. Other dad can help pray for these kids. Lay hand. Yeah, pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come out, pray. You pray for the kids. Tell your kids you love them. You love them. Bless them. Bless them. Promise them that you will be a good example to them. Promise them that you will be a godly dad. Father in heaven, we pray in Jesus' mighty name that our children will grow up in a godly way. Bless our children, Father, that they will love you and serve you all the day of their life, Father. Keep them in good health. Give them prosperity, not only in the area, only finances, but give them prosperity in the spirit, in the soul, in the mind, in the word, and in the wisdom of God. Father, bring them the right spouse, that they will marry a godly person. Bless the next generation. The thousand of generations shall be blessed. We promise you, Father, as dad, that we will live a godly life as an example to them. We will be the priest, the king, and the prophet of our home. Lord, as we make mistakes in the past, we ask you for forgiveness. We ask our children for forgiveness. And we're going to start all over again today. Yes, Lord. Bless our children, Father. Bless them. Thank you, Lord. Bless them indeed. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Speak to God. Pray. Pray. You can pray out loud. You don't need to be quiet. Pray out loud. Speak. There is power in your tongue. Bless them. Bless all these children, Father. I bless them. Yes, bless them. In Jesus' mighty name. You can pray out loud. Speak up. There's a power in the speech. Bless them. Come to me. Bless them, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless them, Father. Bless them spiritually, physically, financially. Bless them mentally. Everything they do, Father, this kid's going to love God and serve God. Protect them from the evil one. Protect them from sin and temptation. Help them, Father, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Make them love your word. Love Jesus. Know Jesus personally. Yes, Lord. Bless them indeed, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're welcome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you hug each other? Hug your kids and tell them you love them. Father, love them. Hallelujah. Samra, come here, Samra. He formed my heart before even time began. My life is in His hands.
What is your name?
Jasmine. Who is your mom?
He knows my name. And He knows my every thought, and He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call.
you trust this message has ministered to you? If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.